This sermon was created with an artificial voice for the audiobook initiative on Sermon Audio. There may be mispronunciations or occasional repetitions. To report a mistake, please email us at info@sermonaudio.com and include the sermon ID or title of the message and the time at which the error occurs. We will do our best to get it corrected for future listeners. Of Antichrist and His Ruin, Part 2, by John Bunyan, The Soul of It Destroyed and How, and therefore as to his soul, or that spirit of error that governs him in all his works of mischief, this must be consumed by the spirit of Christ's mouth, and be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. This we have in the words of Paul, For saith he, the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of Antichrist, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The apostle here treateth of Antichrist, with reference to his more subtle and spiritual part, since that indeed is the chiefest of Antichrist. Wherefore he calls it that wicked, not that wicked one as referring to the whole, but that wicked as referring to the mystery or spirit of iniquity, the heart and soul of Antichrist, and tells us that the Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Now by the spirit of his mouth I understand his holy word, which is called the word and breath of his lips, and also the sword of his mouth. By the brightness of his coming, I also understand not only his presence, but an increase of light by his presence, not only to help Christians to begin to bear witness against some parts and pieces of the errors of Antichrist, but until the whole is rooted out of the world. By this, I say, must the soul, spirit, or life of Antichrist be taken away? But how shall Christ by this rod, sword, or spirit of his mouth consume this wicked, this mystery of iniquity? Not by himself immediately, but by his spirit and word in his church, the which he will use and so manage in this work, that they shall not rest till he by them has brought this beast to his grave. This beast is compared to the wild boar, and the beast that comes out of the wood to devour the church of God, as we read in the book of Psalms 80:13. But Christ, with the dogs that eat the crumbs of his table, will so hunt and scour him about, that albeit he may let out some of their bowels with the tushes of his chaps, yet they will not let him alone till they have his life, for the church shall single him out from all beasts, and so follow him with cries and pinch him with their voices, that he alone shall perish by their means. Thus shall Christ consume and wear him out by the spirit of his mouth, and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Hence you find again that this wicked is to melt and consume away as grease, for the Lord Jesus shall consume him and cause him to melt away. Not all at once, but now this part, and then that, now his soul, and after that his body, even until soul and body are both destroyed. And that you may be convinced of the truth of this thing, do but look back and compare Antichrist 400 or 500 years ago with Antichrist as he is now, and you shall see what work the Lord Jesus has begun to make with him, even with the spirit and soul and life of Antichrist, both in confounding and blasting of it by this spirit of his mouth, as also by forcing of it to dishonorable retreats, and by making of it give up to him as the conqueror not only some of his superstitious and diabolical rites and ceremonies to be destroyed, but many a goodly truth which this vile one had taken from his church to be renewed to them. Nay, further, he hath also already began to take from him both kingdoms and countries, though as to some not so absolutely as he shall do by and by. And in the meantime, this is the plague wherewith the Lord shall plague or smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem. their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouths. And how has this long ago been fulfilled here in England, as also in Scotland, Holland, Germany, France, Sweden, Denmark, Hungary, and other places? Nor hath this spirit of Antichrist, with all his art and artificers, been able to reduce to Antichrist again those people, nations, or parts of nations that by the spirit of Christ's mouth and the brightness of his coming have been made to forsake him and to turn from him to Christ. The reason is for that the Lord has not retreated but is still going on in the spirit of his mouth and his brightness to make that conquest over him that is determined in the way that is determined, of which more shall be spoken afterward. For the pathway that he goeth is as the shining light which shines more and more unto noon. True, the fogs of Antichrist and the smoke that came with him out of the bottomless pit has darkened and eclipsed the glorious light of the gospel. But you know in eclipses, when they are on the recovering hand, all the creatures upon the face of the earth cannot put a stop to that course until the sun or the moon have recovered their glory. And thus it shall be now, the Lord is returned to visit the earth and his people with his primitive luster. He will not go back, nor slack his hand, until he has recovered what Antichrist has darkened of his. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Therefore he saith again, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun was in her eclipse, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bendeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound, etc. As the verse before has it, in the day when the towers fall. For as was said before, as to the recovery of the light of the gospel from under anti-Christian mists and fogs of darkness, Christ will do that, not by might nor power, but by the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. Wherefore the soul of Antichrist, or that spirit of wickedness by which this gospel light hath been diminished, must be consumed and destroyed by that spirit also. Nor can any other way of conquest over that be thorough and lasting, because that spirit can by no other means be slain. The body of Antichrist may be destroyed by other instruments, but spirits cannot be killed but by spirits. The temporal sword then may kill the body, but after that it hath no more that it can do. Wherefore, the other must be dealt with by another kind of weapon. And here is one sufficient. The spirit against the spirit and face of Christ against the spirit, that wicked of Antichrist. And by this spirit of Christ's mouth, all the spirit that is in all the trinkets and wash of Antichrist shall also be destroyed. So that those trinkets, those rites, ceremonies and ordinances of this man of sin shall be left as carrion upon the face of the earth and shall stink in the noses of men. As doth the corrupted blood of a dead man, the ordinances of Antichrist, now therefore will the beauty of Antichrist fade like a flower and fall as doth a leaf when the sap of the tree has left it, or as the beauty departeth from the body, when the soul, or life, or spirit is gone forth. And as the body cannot be but unpleasant and unsavory when under such a state, so the body of Antichrist will be to beholders, when the Lord has slain the spirit thereof. It is the spirit of Antichrist that puts life into the body, and that puts luster into the ordinances of Antichrist, as the light of the sun, and of the moon, and of the stars, do put luster upon the things of this visible world. Wherefore, when this spirit and soul and life of Antichrist is slain, then it will be with him as 'twould be with the world, had it no light of the sun, of the moon, or of the stars. And hence, as the loss of our natural life is compared to the loss of these lights, So the loss of the life, soul, and spirit of Antichrist is compared to these things also. For the soul of Antichrist is compared to a heaven, and her ordinances and rites to the ordinances of heaven. Wherefore, when the Lord comes to fight against her with the spirit of his mouth, he saith, The stars of heaven shall be darkened, and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, because he will slay that spirit of Antichrist that is in them. Take things therefore more distinctly, thus, the Antichristian spirit is the heaven of Antichristians. Their sun, moon, and stars are their superstitious ordinances. Their earth is the body or flesh of Antichrist, otherwise called the church and synagogue of Satan. Now, as the earth cannot live and be desirable without the influences of the Spirit of the heavens, so neither can Antichrist live when the Lord shall darken the light of his heaven and shall slay the spirit thereof. Hence you read, as I touched before, that when his heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll, all the host thereof, unto which I compare the ordinances of Antichrist, shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. But how or why doth the leaf or the fig fall from the tree? Why? Because the spirit or sap of the tree is gone from them. Therefore, the first and chief proceeding of the Lord with the man of sin is to slay his soul, that his body may also be consumed. And when the spirit of Antichrist shall be made to leave both the body and ordinances of Antichrist, 'twill be easy to deal both with the one and the other. And first, for the ordinances of Antichrist, because the spirit of error is in them, as well as in the body itself. When that spirit, as I said, has left them, they will of themselves even moulder away, and not be, as we have seen by experience here in England, as others also have seen in other countries. For as concerning his masses, prayers for the dead, images, pilgrimages, monkish vows, sinful fasts, and the beastly single life of their priests, though when the spirit of Antichrist was in them, they did bear some sway in the world, yet now of what esteem are they, or who has reverence for them? They are now blown together under hedges, as the dry leaves, for the mice and frogs to harbor in. Yea, the locusts too camp in the hedges among the dry leaves, in the cold day, and when the sun ariseth they flee away. When 'tis a cold day for them in a nation, then they lurk in the hedges, though their ordinances lie there, as leaves that are dry, and fallen down from the tree. But when the sun ariseth and waxeth warm, they abide not, but betake them to their wings and fly away. But one would think that fallen leaves should have no great nourishment in them. True, if you have respect to men, but with vermin anything will do. We speak then of them with reference to men, not with respect to the very members of Antichrist. And I say, as to them, when the spirit of Antichrist is gone out of these ordinances, they will be with them as dry leaves that no body seeketh after. The ordinances, therefore, of Antichrist are not able to bear up themselves in the world as the ordinances of the Lord Jesus are. For even the ordinances of Christ, where the spirit of Christ is not, are yet in some esteem with men. But these, when the spirit of delusion has left them, are abhorred, both skin and bones, for in themselves they are without any sense or rationality. Yea, they look as parts of things which are used to conjure up devils with. These were prefigured by the ordinances that were not good, and by the judgments whereby one should not live. For what is there, or can there be of the least dram of truth or profit in the things that are without the word, that being the only stamp by which one is distinguished from the other? I say, what is there in any of them to the man whose eyes are open but delusion and deceit? Wherefore, as has been expressed already, when the Lord Christ, by the spirit of his mouth, etc., shall drive this mystery of iniquity from them, and strip them of that spirit of delusion, that now by its craft puts bewitching excellency upon them, they will of themselves become such stinking rivers, ponds, and pools, that flesh and blood will loathe to drink of them. Yea, as it was with the ponds and pools of Egypt, they will be fit for naught but to breed and hatch up frogs in. Wherefore these ordinances shall be rejected, not one of them shall find favor with men on earth. When the Lord, by the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming, shall have separated their spirit from them. Now by ordinances of Antichrist, I do not intend things that only respect matters of worship in Antichrist's kingdom, but those civil laws that impose and enforce them also. Yea, that enforce that worship with pains and penalties, as in the Spanish Inquisition. For these must, as the other, be overthrown by Christ, by the spirit of his mouth, and the brightness of his coming. For these laws, as the other, took their being, and have their soul and life by the spirit of Antichrist. Yea, as long as there is life in them, 'tis because the spirit of that man of sin yet remaineth in them. Wherefore, these are also great ordinances, though of another nature than those mentioned before. Great, I say, are they. Forasmuch as neither the church of Antichrist nor his instruments of worship can either live or stand without them. Wherefore, it was admitted to the image of the beast, not only to speak, but to cause. To speak out his laws of worship, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And mark, this is because that the life that was communicated to the image of the beast was by him also communicated to his word and authority. Wherefore, these laws must not be separated from those in which the spirit of Antichrist is. Yea, they are the very pillars and sinews by which anti-Christianism remains, and were these dispirited, the whole building would quickly become a ruinous heap. What could the king of Babylon's golden image have done, had it not been for the burning fiery furnace that stood within view of the worshippers? Yea, what could that horrible command to pray for 30 days to neither God nor man but to the king have done, had it not been for the dark den, and the roaring lions there in readiness to devour those that disobeyed it? As therefore the burning fiery furnace and the den of lions were the support of the horrible religion of the Babylonians of old, so popish edicts are the support of the religion of Antichrist now, and as long as there is spirit, that is, authority in them, they are like to those now mentioned. The spirit of such laws is that makes them dreadful, for as the furnace would have been next to nothing, if void of fire, and the den as little frightful, if destitute of lions, so these laws will be as insignificant when Christ has slain that spirit that is in them. That spirit that causes that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Nor can any sword reach that life of Antichrist that is in these, but the sword of Christ's mouth. Therefore, as all the religious rites and ceremonies of Antichrist are overthrown by his spirit working in his as Christians, so those anti-Christian laws will have their soul and their life taken from them also by this spirit of his mouth working in some of his as magistrates and no otherwise. For before kings and princes, etc., come to be enlightened about the evils that are in such edicts, by the spirit of the living God, they will let this image of the beast both speak and cause, etc. But when they shall see, they will say, let it be decreed that this prop of Antichrist be taken down. It was decreed by Darius that they that prayed for 30 days to any god but him should be cast into the den of lions. But this was before he saw, but when he came to see, then he decreed again. A decree that quite took away the power of that which he had decreed before. Nor are we without instances of this kind nearer home. Who is now afraid of the act for burning of those that papists call heretics, since by the king and parliament, as by the finger of God, the life and soul is taken out of it? I bring this to show you that as there is life in wicked anti-Christian penal laws, as well as in those that are superstitiously religious, so the life of these, of all these, must be destroyed by the same Spirit working in those that are Christ's, though in a diverse way. Nor will the life of these sinews, as I have called them, be taken away, but as God shall enlighten men to see the abominable filthiness of that which is anti-Christian worship, as would easily be made appear, if some that dwell in those countries where the beast and his image have been worshipped would but take the pains to inquire into antiquity about it. As the noble king, King Henry VIII, did cast down the anti-Christian worship, so he cast down the laws that held it up, so also did the good King Edward his son. The brave queen, Queen Elizabeth also, the sister to King Edward, hath left of things of this nature to her lasting fame behind her. And if one such law of Antichrist hath escaped the hand of one, another hath taken it, and done that execution on it that their zeal and piety prompted them to. There is yet another thing that the spirit of Antichrist is immediately concerned in, and that is the anti-Christian names of the men that worship the beast, the names, I mean, that the Antichrist hath baptized them into, for those names are breathed upon them by the very spirit of Antichrist, and are such as are absolutely names of blasphemy, or such as do closely border thereupon. Some such as Elihu durst not for his life give unto men, only he calls them flattering titles. Now therefore, of the danger, though not of the names themselves, you read sufficiently in the Scripture. And perhaps the Holy Ghost has contented himself with giving of items that are general, that men might, as to them, be the more cautious of what names they give one to another. But this is clear, they are worn by men of spiritual employ. But since they are but mentioned, and are not distinctly nominated, how should we know which are they, and which not? Verily, by searching the Word of God, and by seeing by that what names we are allowed to give unto men, with reference to their offices, dignities, and places, for God has a quarrel with the names, as well as with the persons that wear them, and when his Son shall down with Antichrist, he will slay 7,000 names of men, as well as the persons of the worshippers of the beast. But there are things, as well as men, and these also have been baptized into those names by the very spirit of Antichrist, and must be destroyed by Christ, the spirit of his mouth, and the brightness of his coming, the idols he shall utterly abolish. And there are men that are idols as well as things. Wherefore, let men have a care as to shun the worship of idols, so that they bear not the name, or stand in the place of one. And the reason of this caution is, because name and thing are both abominable unto God. To give you the number of these names that the spirit of Antichrist has baptized men into, besides the things that do also wear such blasphemies upon them, would be a task too great for me, and too wearisome for you. It shall satisfy then that I give you notice that there are such things and men and names, and that I put you upon search to find out what they be. But whatsoever of the spirit, or soul, or life of Antichrist is in these names, men or things must be consumed by Christ, by the spirit of his mouth, and the brightness of his coming. Another thing that I would touch upon is this, to wit, the lying legends and false miracles that Antichrist cries up. These, by the means of which such as dwell upon the earth are deceived and made to adore and worship the beast, these have their life and soul, as had those mentioned before, from the spirit of wickedness, and must be destroyed as they, namely, by Christ, the spirit of his mouth, and the brightness of his coming. For these are not of the body of Antichrist, but rather such implements, or whatever you will call them, by which the spirit and soul of Antichrist is conveyed into, and kept also alive in the body of Antichrist, which is the church and synagogue of Satan. You may call them organs and means by which that wicked worketh in the mysteries of iniquity, for the begetting of, and maintaining a lying and false belief of the religion of the beast, nor can it be thought, but that, as the anti-Christian status of Antichrist mentioned before, do put a dread and fear upon men that are worshippers of the beast and his image, to the holding of them still to his service. So these legends and miracles do, on the other hand, abridge and bind their consciences to that worship, but all because of that spirit of Antichrist that is in them. So then here is the spirit of Antichrist, diffusing itself into all the things pertaining to the kingdom of the beast. For it dwells in the body of Antichrist, it dwells in the matters and things of worship of Antichrist, it dwells in the titles and names that are anti-Christian, and it dwells in the laws, legends, and miracles of Antichrist. And as it is the spirit of Antichrist, so it must be destroyed, not by sword nor by bow, but by Christ as fighting against it with the spirit of his mouth, and as conquering of it by the brightness of his coming, the body of Antichrist destroyed. And how? We come now to discourse of the body or flesh of Antichrist, and of the destruction of that. For that must be destroyed also. Now the body of Antichrist is that church or synagogue in which the spirit of Antichrist dwells, or unto which the spirit of Antichrist is become a soul and life. And this is to be destroyed, either as it is a body mystical, or under the more gross consideration. First, as it is a body mystical, and so it is to be destroyed absolutely. Secondly, as it is to be considered more grossly, and so it is to be destroyed conditionally. That is, if repentance doth not save the men that have gone to the making up of this body, and to the rejoicing in it. As she is a body mystical, so she is to be destroyed the same way that the things of Antichrist, of which we discoursed before, were to be destroyed. To wit, by Christ, the spirit of his mouth, and the brightness of his coming. This then is the sum as to this, that the church of Antichrist, as a church, shall be destroyed by the word and spirit of Christ. Nor can anything in heaven prevent it, because the strong God has decreed it. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. This city Babylon is here sometimes considered in the whole, and sometimes as to the parts of it. But always, whether in whole or in part as some, or else as the whole of the anti-Christian church, and as such, it must not be destroyed, but by the means aforesaid, by which means her witchcraft, spiritual whoredoms, spiritual murders, thefts, and blasphemies, shall be so detected and made manifest, so laid open and so discovered, that the nations shall abhor her, flee from her, and buy her merchandise no more. Hence her tempting things rot and molder away, for these will not keep, they are things not lasting, but that perish in the using. What then will they do when they are laid by? Therefore it follows, all things which were thy dainty and goodly ones are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Now, if when she had things to trade with, her dealers left her, how shall she think of a trade when she has nothing to traffic with? Her things are slain and stink already by the weapons that are made mention of before. What then will her carcass do? It follows then that as to her church state she must of necessity tumble. Wherefore from Revelation 18:22-24, you have the manner of her total ruin as a church, and something of the cause thereof. But as she must, with reference to her body, be considered mystically as a church, so also she must be considered as a body of men. This is that which I called more grossly, and as such, against whom the wrath of God will burn, and against whom, if repentance prevent not, he will have indignation forever. These I saw are them, to wit, as they are the body of the people, that have been seduced by this spirit of Antichrist, that have been made use of to do all the mischiefs that have been done both to true religion and to the professors of it for this many hundred years, wherefore these must not escape. Wherefore you find that after Antichrist, as to the spirit and mystery of Antichrist, is slain, that the body of Antichrist, or the heap of people that became her vassals, come next to be dealt withal. Therefore the angel that standeth in the sun makes a proclamation to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven to gather themselves, and to come unto the supper of the great God, that they may eat the flesh of the several sorts of the men that have been the lovers, the countenancers, the upholders and defenders of her anti-Christian state, worship and falsehoods, for abundance of their hearts shall be hardened, and made yet more obdurate, that they may be destroyed for the wickedness that they have done. Wherefore you find, as did the enemies of the church of old, that they might revenge themselves for the loss of their idol, or anti-Christian state, begin a new war with the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. Their implacable malice remained when their church estate was gone. Wherefore they will now at last make another attempt upon the men that had been the instruments in Christ's hand to torment them that dwelt on the earth, of which more hereafter. Now therefore is the last stroke of the batter, with reference to the destroying of the body of Antichrist. Only the head of this monster remains, and that is Satan himself. Wherefore the next news that we hear is that he is taken also. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, etc.